Now, I did mention this morning this to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I did mention this, that we are looking at possibility of starting at 9:30 in the morning and then moving our 11 o'clock service to 10:30. Don't know that we'll do that. Just thinking about it. I'd appreciate any feedback you can give me on that, if that inconveniences. Now, listen, truth about it is, don't worry about convenience too much, but I do want to be considerate of people who drive a long way. But let's turn there and get right into the message today. And 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I tell you, turn that old authorized virgin Bible back over that epistle that Paul wrote through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost to the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Is everybody there? Say amen.
Amen.
All righty. Let's just get right into it. Now, pretty soon, guys, when I ask you, I'm going to ask you to move that board over here pretty soon, but not quite yet. All righty. And let's begin at verse number 1. Is everybody there again? Say amen.
Amen.
Everybody there say, I love Jesus.
I tell you,
you know why I love him? Because he first loved me. Amen. But Paul said, now he's, the church at Corinth, they just had all kinds of problems. And every chapter in this book nearly is dealing with something that Paul was straightening out. And there was all kinds of stuff coming in. And Paul kept writing to them, straightening them out about this issue and that issue. And when you get into chapter 11, which is the chapter, by the way, on communion, it is the chapter that the Apostle Paul writes instructions to the church about observing the Lord's Supper. And so anyway, he takes off there. He had been talking about, now I'm going to bring you back over to verse 21, for verse 20 of chapter 10, just a little bit. Back up to verse 20 of chapter 10. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils. Now what he's talking here about is they were making sacrifices, and then people were buying the meat from the sacrifice in the pagan markets, and this was offending some Christian people. They said, land, we got saved out of paganism, and then you're going to buy that old pagan meat out of offered them idols. We ain't doing it. And those that did it, those Christians that did it, it was offending other Christian people, all right? It was offending them. So they were having a problem with that, and he deals with it. He said, I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. All right. Then verse 21 said, ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Now, remember, we're having communion pretty soon. He said, you can't drink the cup of the devil and the devil of the Lord. He said, you cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and be partaker of the table of devils. So that's the background of this thing. And he's trying to straighten them up about some things, but he's also saying, listen, there may be differences in issues of life, doubtful disputations and so forth, but, and he's trying to tell them, don't let that make you stumble or fall. But when he comes into chapter 11, he says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances. Now, I'm going to read straight on down through verse 16, then we're going to back up and take off. But I just want to point out the word, he was praising him. He wasn't trying to condemn him, get on him. He's just trying to straighten him out on something. Very important thing. Then he mentions the word ordinances. Ordinances are laws. They're laws that are put out. You like have city ordinances, state ordinances, so forth like that, and you're abide by them. You have biblical ordinances. A lot of people think that the Lord's Supper and baptism is the two ordinances. Well, they are, but the Bible's got ordinances in it. Things you're supposed to do and things you ain't supposed to do. All right? Now he said, I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. There's the doctrine of headship here. And this is what we'll be preaching about this morning. This is more of a teaching, preaching message. This ain't Bible class, so don't be interrupting me, okay? But it is a teaching message, and I'm going to say some pretty tough things because we're in a culture that's unbiblical.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're in a culture, people ain't reading their Bibles. They just live in the culture. If I was to name this message anything, it's this, is why did your grandpa remove his hat when he came into church? Why did your grandpa take his hat off when he came into church?
Yes.
Was he just being, that was a custom?
No.
Why did he do it? Why in America for decades and decades, people took the hat off when they come to church.
Respect.
And so we're going to be looking at that. Now, if I was to give another message, this message is this. Is culture ruling you or is Christ?
Amen.
Who's your boss, the culture or Christ? So now he says in verse 4, every man, watch this, praying or prophesying, he's going to church. With having his head covered, he does something. he dishonors his head. Who is the man's head? According to that verse 3, Christ is his head. God said, if you come into church, you got a hat on, you're dishonoring your head, the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the man. Verse 5 says, but every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head, she worshiping, uncovereth, with her head uncovered, she dishonors her head. Who's her head, according to verse 3? The man. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. Now I want you to keep these words in mind. For if a woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, which he's assuming that you understand that would be a shame.
Yeah.
All right. Let her be covered. For, and here now he's going to tell you why all this. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and the glory of God. There is a reason. It's not just some custom that people did. Your forefathers did things because the Bible taught it, not because they thought it was a good idea or somebody ought to. Then he says, but here's what happens. Over time, people lose the biblical basis for their conduct and their actions. And then they begin to think, well, that's just the way they used to do it. And they've never studied the Bible on it.
Yeah.
And so what we're going to do today is go back and understand the why of what people do and why not. The reason was, he said, he's the image and the glory of God. But the woman is the glory of man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. That takes you back to Genesis 3. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause, ought a woman to have power on her head. Now, when you read the word power, think about this verse. The powers that be are ordained of God.
Yeah.
He's talking about authority here.
Yeah.
Covering, all right? Have power on her head because of the angels. Go back to Genesis 3, celestial beings. Satan came in. What he dealt with, what he did? This is so powerful, it takes you all the way back to Genesis 3. The reason you have sin in this world today is because Satan went around the God-ordained authority and took the cover and took the covering off that wife.
Yep.
And got to her going around her authority. That's why they put candy on the low shelves in store.
Yep.
They want the child to get it without even talking to you and come up to you and say, Mommy, I want this.
Yep.
There's a continued working of this. Verse number 11, nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman. Neither is the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judging yourselves, is it comely? In other words, is it reasonable? Is it just in your heart knowing for that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. Now, verse 16 says, but if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Brother, I don't see him here right now. Brother Sean Hardy, are you back here? Is that baby here?
He's at home.
She's home. All right. We'll get it when they get here, okay? They had a new baby this week. Amen? Amen. The weekly baby around here. That's a good deal. All right. So I was going to ask you, are you going to be here Wednesday night? You will be Wednesday night? Plan on preaching Wednesday night then, okay? All right. All right, so it says there, if a woman have long hair, it's the glory to her. Hair is given to her for covering. That's very simple, very clear to understand. Now, he says there, it talks about if any man seem to be contentious. We have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Now, you can maybe take that different way you want to there, but basically he's saying this can cause some contention, but he said this is the way you ought to do it. This is the word of God about it. Now, I'll take you all the way back to the New Testament pretty soon. Lord, help me to preach quick, clear, and where a child can understand what I'm preaching. I pray the authority of the Holy Ghost will accompany it, Lord. Not my opinion, not my ideas, but what the Bible said in Jesus' name. I remember as a boy walking into church, when I was a boy, we'd go to church out there in the country, and men took their hats off when they come in the house of God. Amen?
Yeah.
Took their hats off when they come in the house of God. And in fact, I'll tell you how wide it was you would go into another man's house. Brother Jeremy, I can remember going into your grandpa's house over there and my dad take his hat off. Do you know why he'd take his hat off when he went into another man's house? It wasn't because he thought that was a good custom. He was recognizing the headship of that man over his house.
Yeah.
Now listen to me. This is serious business. This is what's ruining America right here. is the under spiritual truth that has to do with this. God is declaring to the church His divine order of authority, order and structure. You'll find out through the book of Corinthians, he constantly talks about do everything decently and in order. God is a God of order. He's not a God of confusion. And God has set forth order and structure and authority in a country. And if you don't have it, you'll go into chaos. And that's about where we're at in this country now. For man, he giveth divine order for mankind. He give it for the church. He give it by extension. We're to be salt and light to take these biblical statutes and ordinances and carry them into our communities and carry them into our lives. This order, this authority was demonstrated here in your Bible. By the way, let me say something to you. This Bible is the authority, not me and not you.
Amen.
You're not the authority. Amen. This book is the authority.
Yes, yes.
This is God's word. This is the Holy Bible.
Amen.
And it's not somebody's opinion. Your opinion is about worth what mine is, worth about spit.
Amen.
This book is what you're going to be judged by. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment, and you're going to be judged by this book. So I'm not preaching a Sears and Roebuck catalog.
Amen.
This is the holy word of God.
Amen.
You better sit up and pay attention, because you're going to give an account for the message you heard here today.
Amen.
All right, now, this order and authority are demonstrated by public and, watch this, an outward manifestation of what the man believed inside. When he said that the man was to take his hat off in church, that was an outward manifestation of what was going on in that man's spirit. It was designed to make a public declaration of God's divine design and authority and order and governing of society. It was to demonstrate a manifestation of dress, of action and appearance, specifically here in this passage in the church, if you came to worship. It says there in verse number 4, it says every man praying or prophesying. He said, you come in there to worship. This is talking about worship in a general way. And there's a reason that it says man and woman and not husband and wife or sister or whatever, brother. I'll get to that a little later. In verse number 7, it gives you the final and ultimate purpose was to glorify God. Look at verse number 7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. God said, I don't want you covering your head, because you're to be the image and the glory of Almighty God. But he said the woman is the glory of man. Now, you say, Reggie, what was it about? Number one, he said, I want your men's heads uncovered to glorify God. You're made in His image. He is your master. He is God Almighty. You're to be submissive to Him. You're to be under His authority. And you are to worship Him with due respect and due honor.
Amen.
To come into a church, or actually if you want to come into a man's home and not remove your hat, is an act of disrespect.
Yes. Right.
An act of disrespect to God Almighty. To dishonor, it says right there, look at your Bible, dishonoreth His head. Who's the man's head?
Christ.
Amen. You're dishonoring God. That's what it says. Now I want you young boys especially listen, because you're living in a culture where men act like nobody's over me.
Right.
I'm my own boss. And it's going to mess your life up real royally, and it'll get you at judgment. So anyway, what we're going, he said, not only that, but it provides family, civil, and church order, peace, and tranquility. It is the very issue that was attacked by Satan in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3. Guys, if you put up Genesis 3, 15, and 16. Now, by the way, here's the first mention of head in your Bible. Now, remember in your passage of scripture, there's three heads there in verse 3. Head of the woman, head of the man is Christ. Head of the woman is man. The head of Christ is God. Here's the first mention of head in your Bible, which is a critical thing when you're studying the Bible. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head. He's talking to Satan. What had happened here? Eve had transferred her headship from Adam to Satan. All right, there's a meaning here. Now, watch verse number 16. Unto the woman he said, I'll greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee.
Yeah.
That goes clear on into the New Testament. God never abrogated that command right there, that statute, that judgment. Now, So we have that. It was this issue that God set forth his divine command and instituted in the matter of this situation. This order and structure is never discarded in Scripture, but rather reinforced in the New Testament. But let me take you back further in the book of Genesis, chapter 24, verse 65. Rebekah was being brought down to meet Isaac, her husband. Do you know what the Bible said she did? Now watch this. When she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel and she covered herself with a veil. What was Rebekah doing? Just some custom?
No.
You know what she was doing? She put a covering, and what was she saying? I am lining up with God's word.
Amen.
That this man is my head. He's my spiritual leader. He's the authority and the ruler of my home. She's getting ready to be married.
Yeah.
And she's not jumping off and saying, I want to tell you something, big dude. I believe in 50-50 around here, and that's the way it's going to be.
No.
She lighted off that camel, put a veil on it, exactly what you're talking about, a covering in this passage of scripture, and she's showing that I'm going to be under submission to God ordained authority.
Yeah, every time.
We have a spirit in this country right now of just rebel against God ordained authority. It doesn't matter what God's word said. The Bible's not my boss.
Yep.
I do what I want to do. I'm the cock of the walk around here. And it's filtered itself, and that's why you got kids that act disrespectfully toward parents and grandpas and grandmas.
Yes.
That's why you got kids that won't stand up when an old man comes in the room.
Yes.
That's why you got kids that act like that they ain't no, defund the police. Police ain't gonna tell me how to, nothing. That's why you got kids spitting at teachers.
Yeah.
It's this spirit of rebellion and disobeying authority, and nobody's going to tell me how to live. Can I tell you something? God Almighty has a right to tell me and to tell you how to walk and how to talk.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen. Now, this issue has to do with the recognition, the submission and obedience and the honor, the respect and reverence to God, to his word and his name authority. I want you to take your Bible and put up 1 Peter chapter 3, if you will. We're just going to read this. We just read it while ago in our Bible reading. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also without the word be won by the conversation of the wise. The only verse in the Bible I know of where it says you can get saved without the word of God. You can get saved by the chaste conversation of your wife, by how godly she lives and a submissive spirit that she has. I remember one time, and Danny, I think you were there. You might remember this. Preacher got up and he was preaching at a conference we was at one time, and he got telling this story about a woman whose husband wouldn't go to church with her. And she was going to go to church, and he was against it, and they were fighting and fussing one Sunday morning, and they had been into it real bad. And she got up to go to church, and she reached in the closet to get her coat to go to church, and he pulled up a pistol to her head and said, you're not going to church. Now listen to me. And this preacher was preaching. This is what he said. She looked at her husband and said, if you shoot me, I'm going to heaven. If you don't, I'm going to church. And the whole crowd in that congregation of probably 3,000 or 4,000 people, oh, that was wonderful. That's slop out of hell. You know what the real problem was? That woman had a rebellious spirit.
Yeah.
Can I tell you, ladies, something? If your husband doesn't want you to come to church and you're going to get into it, you can appeal to him and say, honey, I'd like to go to church. But if he says not to, you're supposed to be under your husband.
That's right.
You're not supposed to rebel against him. Just if that fits, do everything else. Tell your kids it's okay. When you tell them not to do something, tell them it's okay to rebel.
That's a fact. Come on now.
What the Bible teaches is that if a woman has a submissive spirit and a right attitude, that God can change that husband.
Yeah.
And when that happens, he's really changed. But if you badger him and nag him and act cocky and arrogant, you're going to make him turn against God Almighty.
Yeah.
And he'll hate the church and he'll hate the preacher. Yes, sir. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Oh, listen to me this morning. You're talking, and the sad part about it was that whole group of people was cheering that on.
Yeah.
A rebellious spirit in supposedly a godly woman. Now, let's look what it says. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Chaste conversation means a godly, biblical life that you're living.
Yeah.
who's adorning. Watch this. Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, wearing of gold, and putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. That God said, this is where how I want you to be adorned. The hidden man in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit. When you tell your husband, if you shoot me, I'm going to heaven. If you don't, I'm going to church. That is not a meek and quiet spirit.
Right.
Which God says that meek and quiet spirit is in the sight of God of great price. If God counts a meek and a quiet spirit of great price, mark it in your day book. It's of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, not the worldly women, but the holy women who trusted in God. There it is, right there. That was their secret. Trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even, watch this, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord.
Yep.
Oh my, male chauvinist.
Right.
Whose daughters ye are. As long as you do well and not afraid with them. But look it down here. Likewise, ye husbands, do well with them according to knowledge.
Yeah. Yep.
The heavier weight is on the husband. We'll get to this a little bit. Giving honor unto the wife, as unto the not less value-vest vessel, as the weaker vessel. If I had two cups up here, and one of them was real thin but fine china, and I had an old coffee mug here, which one's worth the most? Yeah, being a weaker vessel does not mean you're worthless.
That's a fact.
That's right.
It may mean you're more valuable.
That's right.
Amen.
And he said, giving honor unto the wife of the weaker vessel, and being as heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. God said, listen, this affects the prayer life and the answered prayers of your family. So now we come down to this chaos or our culture. The problem is that we put culture above Christ and his word. We've thrown the Bible off. We've discarded the word of God, disobeyed the word of God, dishonored the word of God, disrespect the word of God. And I just want to say this, and I want to confess something to you. I had a call from a man in our church yesterday, and I really appreciated it. He said, Reggie, I see where you're preaching on why your grandpa took his hat off at church tomorrow. I said, yeah. He said, man, Reggie, I'm just thrilled to hear you're preaching on that. He said, this thing's been bothering me. He said, it's a deep problem. It's not just the hat. It's the problem underneath the hat.
Yeah.
And he brought out some things that I'm going to use. And it was a wonderful conversation. But here's what I told him. Men are either, number one, and I want to be kind about this, either so ignorant of the Bible truth. Now, listen to me. I've been preaching 42 years. I've read this Bible a lot. I wouldn't know how many times I've probably read through it. I never caught this before. Oh, I knew it was there. I could quote some of these passages, but I never saw the meaning.
Yeah.
Till this week. And as I was preparing, it's like the Holy Ghost said, wait a minute. I want to show you something very simple, but something that very profound that is causing lots and lots of trouble in families and homes and marriages and in your nation. It's this issue of headship.
Yep. That's it.
And this is, now I want to show you how powerful what the Holy Ghost did with me. It's like God said, Reggie, what chapter is this in? Well, chapter 11. What's in chapter 11? Communion service. What does it say in that passage? If you take it unworthily. What's he talking about when he says, if you take communion unworthily? Put it in the context, Reggie.
Come on.
What have I been talking about in the context of that passage on communion?
Yeah.
Headship.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
That's it.
And you come into communion and you got a rebellious spirit toward your head as Reggie, Christ is your head.
Come on.
Christ is your head. You come in with an attitude that I will only obey what I want to obey in the Bible and do what I want to do. You are dishonoring your head, and you think you're going to come in and have communion and fellowship with me and be right with me, and you as a man have a bad attitude toward your head. So, Reggie, don't be shocked when those under you, your wife, has a bad attitude toward you, or your children have a bad attitude, disrespectful attitude toward you. Because you've been disrespectful and dishonored me.
Yeah.
Is this making sense?
Amen. Right.
Men, we carry the greater responsibility.
Yeah.
If we men do not allow Christ to be the head of our personal lives, we're going to have a domino effect of trouble.
Amen.
That's
a fact.
So, either We're ignorant of this biblical truth, and I've been preaching for it 42, 43 years. I've never preached this. I have the area subject, but I've not preached this text in context with where it's at. Now, let's look at some words in the text. Number one, the word head is in verse 3, three times. The head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is a man, the head of the church, Christ is church. So you have this principle. Guys, if you get that whiteboard up, I'd appreciate it. So now watch this. Number one, it says you have the head of every man is Christ. I'm going to ask you a question. They can do that. Don't let them distract you. We were reading 1 Peter chapter 3 a while ago for church Bible reading. To be honest with you, I was almost like I wasn't even there, yet was reading it. My mind wasn't on it. And that can happen to you.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I pray, I ask you right now, let the Holy Ghost bring your attention to this thing. I want to ask the men of this church, is Christ truly your head?
Yes.
Is he practically and honestly and in a real manifested way your head? Secondly, I ask you, ladies, is your husband or is the man your head? Now, here's something that blew me away. Only God could orchestrate this. Yeah. Only God. What have we been teaching about in Bible class? The incarnation of Jesus Christ, that he became a man.
Yeah.
Watch this. Your passage of scripture said in verse 3 that the head of Christ is who?
God.
God is not telling you and I to do something that Jesus hadn't already done.
Yeah.
You'll find out in your Bible that Jesus said, I do that which always pleaseth the Father.
Right.
Made himself a servant.
Yeah.
He always honored his Father. Always. Now let me tell you something. When the Bible says that God the Father is the head of Christ,
yeah,
God's not joking.
Yeah, that's fine.
This is big. When he says that, now watch this, he's talking about the humanity of Christ. Christ is God. Can anybody see now why this is so important? Christ is God. He's the second person of Godhead, but he's also man. And as a man, he subjected himself to the Father. And he doth always those things that please the Father. And the Bible tells you the first thing, that what it says in verse 3, the head of Christ is God.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
So if the head of Christ is God, and then it tells you and I what? The head of the man is Christ.
Amen.
And the head of the woman is man. Now there's a reason here that it does not say husband or wife.
Amen.
How many boys in this church house have got a sister? I want you to stand, would you? Just you young guys, maybe you're not married. You got a sister. I want to ask you, Walton's boys, where's your sister at right quick? Where are they at? Right here. I want to ask you, Josiah, what would you do if I walked over and slapped your sister?
He wouldn't let you.
Say it louder.
So I wouldn't let him?
He wouldn't let me. But wait a minute, I'm the pastor of the church here.
Amen.
Are you listening?
Yep.
You're talking about, listen to me tight, jurisdictional authority.
Yeah.
Right. I hope and pray there's not a boy in this church which you are a man, not grown up yet, but you're a man, right? You're a male. I hope there's not a boy in this church, but what would not take up for his sister?
Right.
Are you listening to me?
Right.
That's why it doesn't say brother. That's why it doesn't say a sister. That's why it doesn't say husband. That's why it doesn't say wife. God expects you as a man to defend a woman.
Amen.
Whether this week in New York City, on the subway out there on top, there was a man attacked a woman in broad daylight. He had a blackjack and a knife. He bear hugged her and was trying to drag her off. And strangers, men who didn't even know that woman, attacked that man and took him off her and held him till the cops got there. Why did they do that? But it's not being done in some places today. You've got a situation where men are watching women be attacked.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter that she's not your wife. It doesn't matter that she's not your daughter. You should defend women. You should defend. You boys can sit down. I want to tell you boys something. I beg you in Jesus' name, don't you ever let anybody hurt your sister. Don't you ever let anybody treat your sister disrespectful or say nasty stuff to her. Say amen right there. Say amen right there. Let's be men again in this church house. Let's be men again in America. Amen. It's cost us. I'm telling you something. You got a bunch of... Lord, help me stay on track. The head of every man's Christ. I'm asking you, do you believe that?
Yeah.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
Then it says the head of Christ, the head of man is Christ.
Amen.
Is he?
Yes.
I've been asking myself all week, Kenny. What's the truth about you, Reg? What's the real truth about you? Is Christ your head? As God the Father is the head of Christ? What about the women? The man is your head.
Yeah.
Is he? Or just when you want him to be? And that's my problem. Yeah. Most of the time, Christ is my head. What? When I want him to be. When I'm in trouble, I need him.
Yeah.
But not when I'm off on my own deal.
Right.
All right, so we got those down. Now, guys, I want you, I'm going to give you some scriptures. We won't do it because just for time's sake, good land of living. Here's what the essence is. I should respect and honor the headship of every man in this building. That's why he should not let me slap his sister. I should honor every man's headship in this building.
Right.
If you're the head of your family, I owe it to you to respect your headship.
Right.
To not honor headship is to dishonor.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay? I'm going to give you these verses. Ephesians 1:22, Ephesians 4:15, Ephesians 5:23, Colossians 1:18, Colossians 2:10, Colossians 2:19 are all verses in the epistles that tell us this doctrine about the headship of God Almighty and the order structure. Now, if I made by the way, let me just say something to y'all here. I'm just going to tell you. You think I ain't up here preaching down my nose at nobody. God changed me this week. Randy, I will not come in your home without taking my hat off anymore. I'm done.
Amen.
When I was a boy, you did it. But over the years, I just leave my hat on. Walk in your house. That ain't the way your grandpa's was. Your grandpas took their hat off when they came in your house, recognizing that you're the head of that house. I told God Almighty yesterday, Lord, by your grace, if you'll help me, I will not go into another man's house and not take my hat off. I'm not talking about being weaky, missy, Mickey Mousy, sissified, nothing like that. I'm talking about respecting that is that man's house. I don't have a right to step over that man's threshold without his permission.
That's right. Yes,
yes sir. Man, I tell you, I need to stay with it. I don't know, folks. It's 11:46, and here I am. I've got to. But anyway, the second mention of head in the Bible is in Genesis 24. Watch this. Abraham sent his servant out, and when God blessed him and helped him get the job done, the Bible said twice that he bowed his head and worshiped. Watch this. He bowed his head and worshiped. What does it do? What does it mean when you and I bow our head?
Yeah.
We're reverencing, respecting, and honoring the head that's above us.
Yeah.
We're saying, I'm not in rebellion. I'm not in disobedience.
Yeah.
I'm not disrespecting. I'm not dishonoring.
Yeah.
Right.
We got an obedient, submissive spirit to our God. Now, let's look at the next words, covered. Man, this is wild. In verses 4 of your text, verses 5, verses 6, and verse 15, you have the word covered or covereth. Watch this here. How many of you guys military? All right. You've seen, what's it mean when it says covering fire? What's it mean? Help me. Covering fire. Give me covering fire. That means that you're trying to get to a position to get victory. Watch this. To get victory over the enemy, but you need covering fire. That means that those guys are to shoot at the guys that would be shooting at you while you get yourself into position. Okay? You get yourself in covering fire. What are they doing? They're covering you. All right? Help me. Please pray for me right now. What does it mean when somebody says, I've got you covered? I've got you covered. Whenever you buy insurance policy, what do they say? We've got you covered. What's the idea? The idea is protection, safety, tranquility, right? I want to throw something at you. It just happened this week. I like to fill off my wagon. Our president has had this concept inculcated into him, and I don't even know if he knows it or not. But he does. He's very protective. Yes. Did you know what he said this week's going to happen in this nation? That we're going to, watch this, have a golden dome. And these are the very words he used. We're going to cover our people.
That's what he said.
The golden dome is a missile protection defense system that if China or anybody shoots missiles at us, we're covered. He instinctively knows that. Is he not the head of our government in the sense of the executive branch?
Yes.
He knows that the head should provide covering for those underneath him.
Yep, that's a fact. Amen.
This thing is so wild. Please, and I'm going to say this. I know it's a holiday weekend. If you need to go, I'm not going to be insulted. I'm not going to be offended. I understand that, okay? But I've got to finish this. Do you know what it means when it's when you say somebody's naked? They're not covered. There's a reason the Bible uses that.
Come on.
Yes.
Because when you're naked, you've opened yourself up to satanic influences.
Right.
Now the word dishonor, verses 4 and 5. If a man comes into worship and he has his head covered, the Bible said he dishonoreth his head, and that head is Christ.
Yeah.
What is he doing? He's bucking against God's design and authority. Let me just say something to you. If I was just a guy out here, and even if I've been to church, and I walked into church this morning, and, you know, I've wore a cowboy hat most of my life. I'm honest with you. And I've wore caps, you know, and if I didn't know this, I'd hope somebody would have a little bit of mercy with me. Hey, Reggie, he doesn't understand. He doesn't, okay, I want to be gracious about this.
Right.
I don't want to be ornery or nothing like that or hurt nobody's feelings. But it's one thing to be ignorant and not know, but it's another thing to be rebelliously determined that I will not let God be my head. He's not my boss. All right. So, now watch this. This gets wild. When we do that, we're not only dishonoring our head, but it's a further bucking against God's design and authority in his life, and making a public statement to that effect that God is not ruling my life. And in this text, there's something amazing. The biggest subject in America right now culturally is transgenderism. The same except reverse for a woman in verse 5. If a woman is not covered, she dishonors her head, which is her husband. She is bucking God's order, God's authority. All right? When she's covered, and it says her hairs are covering, she's respecting God's order, and she's saying that she's under that authority, and she's lined up with God. Now, it's important. Christ never dishonors his head.
Right.
All right? Christ commands us in loving, worshipful obedience to signify and demonstrate our reverence and our honor, our love and obedience in a public way by taking my hat off, or if it's a woman, by having hair. This is important in the distinction of genders. I've done this to some extent, but I'm going to go further with it this morning. Now watch this. Somebody says, well, outward appearance doesn't matter. That's not what your Bible teaches. When you walk up, let's say you're up to some restaurant and you need to go to the bathroom. They're going to have two stick figures. I wonder how many people can tell me which is the ladies' room and which is the boys' room. Which room is this? Which is this? How do you know? How do you know? Watch me. If the American people and the average American woman walked up to this door and she went in the bathroom that fit her dress, the way she's dressed, where would she go?
Either one these days.
Tell me. Where would she go?
The men.
You like it or lump it, you get mad, hot, bothered, just help yourself. We had transgenderism long before it became a cultural issue. Satan implanted it in our culture and we didn't even know it.
Right. You're right.
Let me give you another one. It says it's a shame for a woman to have, for a man to have long hair. What if they said, what if all they did was had the head and they had this? If you went into a bathroom based upon hair, according to that scripture, where would you go? That's it. That's what Satan wants. No distinction between the genders. So if I've got long hair as a man, I can go over here. Is anybody already confused good? You're already confused. You don't know where to go. In the cultural discussion of this on the news and anywhere else, nobody mentions the Bible, what it says, and but they will admit that it's confusion. They call it, you know, gender confusion. Do you know why it's confusion? It's because it's of the devil. Confusion comes from Satan. And this whole issue is that God created male and female. And Satan wants you confused about what you are and who you are. And so it gets into this, watch this. So culture begins to rule over the Bible. Culture rules over church. Now they've come up with the bathroom. Yeah. Now if that's not confusion, I never seen anything that is. You don't know what that is. If most American women went into a bathroom with a stick drawing, they'd go into the men's bathroom. That's a fact. If men who have long hair went into the bathroom corresponding with the hair, they'd go in the women's bathroom. Now, folks, let me just tell you something. I know this ain't, that's why most people don't like me in this country, but that's okay. That's just fine. I mean, I'm sorry. If bathroom signage was done by hair, where would men with long hair go? Women's. It's confusion. The text is dealing with the outward manifestation of a biblical concept of perverting God's order, God's design, and respect and so forth of God. God knows and desires the greater manifestation is to be from the heart. When we read that passage of scripture a while ago, it talked about the wife from her heart. God's after your heart. Let me give you an example of how it's invaded our culture. In 1920, you had what's called the years before that, the women's suffrage movement. Okay.
Yeah. Remember.
It was made a constitutional amendment in 1920, and women received the right to vote. Okay. Yeah. Most of you were not around then. I wasn't, but I've studied history hard. Here's what was going on. The unbiblical and the ungodly people were saying, aren't you women tired of being oppressed by your husbands?
Yep.
They're making you lesser citizens.
Yep.
You're nobody in our country. Your husbands are ruling over you, and they're making it bad on you. And we need to change the Constitution. I want to ask you a question. Why did the founding fathers not have women voting? He's your representative.
Yeah, that's right.
We live in a representative republic.
Right.
All of you and I do not run up to Jeff City and cast a vote on every bill.
Amen.
We elect a what?
Representative
that votes for us. It's the same concept. They got that straight out of the Bible.
Yep. Right.
They said the husband is the representative of his home. And the husband is going to vote. He's the head of the home. And he is going to vote representing his wife.
Amen.
By the way, that amendment just passed by one vote. And you know how that vote got cast? A bunch of liberals went over here in Tennessee and talked to a young first term congressman, and got his mother to get on the phone with him in Washington, D.C. and sweet talk him into going and voting for that amendment. And she talked her son into it and flipped that thing, and that's how we got that. But they lied and they said, oh, you're oppressed. It's demeaning to you. They're saying you're not equal. You can't vote. You have no voice in our country. Any husband that believes that is stupider than he looks.
Yes, sir.
Your wife has more power than you. She has persuasive, influential power, and you know that. If she comes up to you and says, honey, I'd like to visit with you, and I don't think we should do this, I'll tell you, most men with any sense are going to back up and say, I wonder why my wife's not in on me with this. If you have any kind of marital relationship, all right? So he did that. Now, so what happened to America? Watch this. The man was no longer, they removed by constitutional deal, they removed man as the head of his home. Where have we went in the last 100 years? Downhill so fast, make your head swim. We've had two world wars. I mean, on and on we go. We've never got out of war. Can I tell you the stupidest thing I've ever heard tell of is having women in barracks with men in our military and anywhere else, and it did a stinking shame that we put women out there on the front line. Is that not sick or not? You talk about, but it's, listen, it's, I'm just going to throw this in for free. I'm going to seek, and Hannah, I want you to help me. I'm going to see if we can't get somebody to introduce in the Missouri legislature the death penalty for anybody that produces, manufactures, possesses, or distributes child pornography. Anybody. There is no lower snake in these hills than anybody that would possess, make, or distribute child pornography. You are a snake, and you ought to, your head, you ought to go. Get right with God, because you're going.
Amen.
We ought to make it a death penalty in this country. I am sick of it. Why in the world does our Congress, the Supreme Court, allow on the internet or wherever it may be, children to be used like that, and then go out and arrest them? We're letting it be on the internet. Stop the whole thing. Cut the head of the snake off. Anyway. Here's another historical case, and I'm getting ready to close here in about 10 to 15 minutes, so hang on, keep praying hard that I'll get done. Here's a historical case, and boy, it just shakes me to the soul. When men fail to honor, submit, and obey and follow the Lord as their head, God judges the country. And when men neglect God in their own personal lives, they're not making Christ the head, and thus they open their families up to satanic attacks. And they're violating the structure of God-ordained authority. Now watch this very carefully. For years, I have watched and read the history about this and never connected it till this week. In World War II, toward the close of it, in the country of France, Belgium, Norway, and the Netherlands, as the Allied forces drove out the German Nazis' army, they rounded up women by the thousands and publicly shaved their heads. And you can watch videos of this, photos of this. I actually was going to put one up this morning. But one of the most horrendous scenes you've ever seen is a mob of thousands of people having all these women and bringing them up one by one and start shaving their head. And I mean shave them down to bald. And then put signs on them. I collaborated with the enemy. And paint Nazi insignias on them. Now hang on to your hat. There were over 20,000 women who had their heads shaved publicly in the streets of Paris and other French towns for collaborating, bedding with, aiding with, helping the enemy, the Nazi army, when they came in. thousands and thousands in Norway, Belgium, the Netherlands, women's heads were shaved. If you've ever watched Band of Brothers, the movie, it's in that movie in the Dutch, when the Americans and the British come through, before those troops got to town, the people had those women out in the street cutting their heads, shaving their heads off bald, that had consorted with the enemy. Now I want you to listen very closely. I've looked and I've thought about that a lot. And I said to myself, why did those people gather those women up and cut their hair off their heads? And the average historical account will be because they corroborated with the enemy, bedded with them, gave them information, worked as spies, whatever it may be. But there's a deeper root problem. Then we'll give it to you, and I want you to take it home with you when you leave here today. Why did the Nazis get to come into France? Why did the Nazis come into Belgium and the Netherlands? It took the Nazis 6 weeks to conquer France, which had triple the amount of planes and tanks and more men in their army. It only took them 6 weeks. Belgium was run over in a few days. They rolled across Western Europe like a steamroller.
Yeah.
Now watch me. And when they did, their women became uncovered. Men who corroborated with the enemy were either shot or imprisoned. Women had their heads shaved. Why did those women corroborate with the enemy? I want you to think. Several reasons. Protection. If they could get hooked up with a Nazi soldier, there was a good possibility they would not be gang raped. They could also expect, if they were hooked up with a Nazi soldier, to get food. Because he'd have food. They could also expect that they'd have clothing and a roof over their head. Sounds like a husband's duty to me.
Yep, that's right.
Let me tell you why the women corroborated with the enemy. It's because the men sacrificed and threw away their headship. First to Christ, and when that happened, they could not be the heads of their own wives.
Yeah.
And let me tell you further, they did just exactly what you and I usually do when we get ourselves in trouble. They blamed their women.
Yeah.
And it should have been those sorry men.
Yep.
Hang on to your hat. The Vichy government was the Nazi-sponsored government who corroborated with the enemy and made it almost impossible for us to try to come into France at the start.
Yep.
Nobody shaved his head off.
No.
Nobody brought him down in the street. And let me tell you what's wrong with America. We've got a bunch of weak, spineless men who won't take their families to church, who won't read their Bibles with their families, who aren't the heads of their homes,
right,
who Christ is not the head of them.
Yep.
So how can he be the head of his family?
Yep.
Right.
And they've left their children, they left their families uncovered, Danny.
Yep.
Amen.
Now let me show you further in history what God teaches us through. God wants you to study history because he will verify his word to you through history if you'll just let him.
Yeah, he will.
Oh, the Nazis. They're going to conquer the world, but in their conquering, they threw Christ off and worshiped Hitler.
Yeah, they did.
And so Hitler was their head and not Christ. So now, God in his sovereign providence, watch this, this is bad. In his sovereign providence, took the German soldiers clear over into Moscow and Leningrad, and there tied them up in the winter. And at one point, 300 and some thousand Nazi soldiers were taken captive.
Yeah.
Only 1,000 of them ever came home. And then Russia began its march toward Berlin. As they began to approach Berlin, the women with their children were running as fast as they could to get toward the American troops. Because they knew that at worst it would be better than the Russians. When the Russian troops came into Berlin, history records that they, at a minimum, raped over 100,000 women in that city. Can I tell you why? Because the men were not their heads. The men became weak and they couldn't stop it. This is where Satan wants to take America. He wants you men to be more interested in making money than covering your wife, worshiping God with her, being the protector and being the provider and nurturing your family in the ways of God. He wants to get you busy getting a new truck and a new four-wheeler and a new boat and more pleasure and more this and more that. And while you're doing that, he's going to cut the head off. I almost entitled this message, The Beheading of the Head. Because the ultimate game is to cut the head off in your family. Let me just tell you something. Be very, very careful about messing with the head that God ordained. In this church, you respect. There's not a man in this church house that I have any desire to violate the headship of your home. So much to the extent that in this church, I do not have women calling me for counsel. You have to call my wife first. I'm not going around you and having a talk with your wife about you and her husband's troubles.
Amen to that.
That's sorry. These preachers are doing it. Preachers doing it everywhere.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, pastor, I need to talk to you. My husband this, my husband that. Oh, my goodness, you poor little woman. And it might be bad, but get him there. And don't be alone with her there.
Amen.
Yeah. Respect. You say, well, he's a dirty dog.
Don't matter.
He's still the head.
Amen.
Like it or not.
Right.
How many of you mamas, your child don't like the way you act? You're not my mom anymore. I don't have to do anything you say anymore. She said, that ain't flying. Go get me the belt. You see, you believe it in some areas of life, but you don't believe it in others.
Come on, that part there.
Is it making sense? Well, I'm going to disappoint y'all in that it's 12:11, and we're going to have communion this evening first in this church house, and then we're going to go outside. Is that all right?
Amen.
I don't want to disappoint you, but I just feel like that's what I'm supposed to do, so I'm sorry. So why did your grandpa remove his hat? Oh, it's just what we do?
No.
He said, in your old Bible, Reggie, there's a passage of scripture that says, Christ is my head. And he said, I'm not to come into church and worship him with my hat on, not because God don't like hats, but because I'm his head.
Amen.
And I want that man submissive, and I want him to have a good loving attitude. I love him. I want him to love me, but I want him to be submissive and respectful and honor the head. And I would encourage you to take this and run this truth. Again, it could be sometimes we just don't know. I had to ask God, forgive me. I said, Lord, I never saw it. I just thought it was what people did. I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask the pianist to come, if you would. Fellas, I will tell you something. I love you. You ain't got much. As sorry as I am, as wicked as I am, as hell deserved as I am, saved by the sweet grace of God, I want the best for you. I really mean it. And I want to ask you a question, fellas, that I've asked myself this week. And maybe you're like your preacher. You say, Reg, I tell you what, I'd like to really honestly, with God's grace, I want Jesus to be the head of my life. And you'd like to come and just spend a few moments in prayer saying, Lord, I know this is the truth and that's what I want. I want you to be the head of my life. I want you to give the orders and instructions. I want to have an obedient spirit. I want to provide a good head for my family. And Lord, I need help because I need help. I'm telling you, I need help. I'd give every acre of ground I own if I could have been a better daddy. I'm telling you the truth. A better head. Oh, ladies, please listen to me. If you've got a husband in this church house that wants Christ to be the head of his life, do you know what you've got? You say, well, he's pretty sorry. Well, Karen could say that about me. But if he has a desire somewhere in his soul that Christ would be his head, you ought to be thankful for that. So when he gets up here a little bit and comes back there, I'm going to ask you to stand up as he comes and embrace him and say, honey, I appreciate. And you ask God to help, pray for you, to help you to let him be the head of your home. He ain't going to make every decision right. He's going to fail. He's going to mess up. He'll hate himself sometimes for as bad as he makes up. But he'd probably do a lot better job if you had a good submissive spirit about you. Might be this morning that you need to ask God to forgive you for having a rebellious, disrespectful, and dishonoring spirit. I didn't get to preach everything like I really thought I probably would, but I think the Lord done. And I was going to ask you a question. What are you going to do with this message? Will you repent? Will you walk out of here in rebellion? Maybe you're here today and you're lost without God. You've never been saved. Christ is not the head of your life. Now would be an awful good time to call on the Lord and say, Lord, I want to trust your son as my Savior. His death, his burial, his blood died in my place for my sin. The gospel is good news, and it means that somebody died for you, paid for the sin debt in full forever for all of your sin. And sisters here today, I want you to know my wife and I love you, but boy, if you've got a husband that desires to let Christ be his head, I'd meet him on the way back. I wouldn't let him come back to an empty seat. I'd stand and meet him and say, honey, I'm glad to have you as my husband. As the pianist plays today, you let God do what he needs to do in your life. Let me state about things. This building is going to pass away someday. Your truck, your car is going to pass away someday. Your possessions, you're not taking any of them with you. But when we stand before the throne, what's going to count was Christ, our head. I'm headed down the slope right now. I'm headed down to the river. And when my feet touch the water, I'd like to be able to say, Jesus, you're my head. You're my master. You're my Lord. Let's stand together. I believe it's time to dismiss. I want to tell you I love you. Go ahead, Joel, if you want to there for a little bit. Folks still praying. To the church for just a little bit here. There's an aspect of this message that I did not preach on. And that aspect is the pastoral headship of a church. Christ is the head of the church. But a pastor, he has some headship authority. And I just want to tell the church this, that God being my helper. Poor old Jimmy Swagger died this week, and all everybody remembers about him is how he fell. I don't know whether, I'll be honest with you, I'm not his determiner whether he's saved or lost. None of that. That's not my business. But I want to tell you one thing I don't want to do, Kenny. I don't want you to have to look back and say, Reg, he really pulled a good one. He was the head of that church in the human sense. And he really throwed him. I don't want to hurt your families by not being the proper head to this church that I ought to be. I'm not the head of the church. I'm not saying, I'm just talking about the human aspect of it.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you right now, you better be careful about what you're head of.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make you this commitment. I don't want you worrying. But I've asked God, long as I've got breath and I'm able to get behind this pulpit, I'm going to be here every Sunday. And if you want to come and hear the word of God preached, you be here. But when he's done with me, somebody says, Reggie, what's going to happen? He's got somebody. I don't know who it is. I may not even know the person. This is his church. He'll take care of it. But I will tell you this. If God will help me, and I don't know what I'll get hit with next week, but if God will help me, Brother Philip, I want to be the proper head to this church I ought to be. And I pray that you'd pray for me that I won't jack up and mess up and do something stupid. Or get, you know. Everybody with me?
Yes, sir.
This stuff's important. My dad talked about a man he knew that had, I believe he had 9 kids, if I'm not mistaken. And he just walked off from those kids and that mother. And my dad, he'd always talk about that. He said, son, he said, what would you do if you was a little old boy, 4 or 5 years old, and your daddy left you? Left you with your mother. It'd shake you for the rest of your life. Yeah. Oh, listen, we got a good God. Amen?
Amen.
Well, let's sing a little bit of that and let's go home. Let's hit that. I'd rather have Jesus on the course than to be a king of the vast door.